Union, an HBCU in Richmond, Virginia.
Our history is grounded in access and opportunity for people. We bet on folk. We bet on their ability to achieve, and we're not going to veer from that particular mission.
Mission trumps metrics, says Perkins, no matter what a so-called college rating system says about his or any other school. Claudia Sanchez, NPR News.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.
Support comes from Country Financial, hosting information sessions for farmers throughout the state of Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates on both the federal crop insurance program and the Farm Bill, as well as how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. More information is at countrycrop.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter March wheat 674 1/4 down 9.5. Soft March wheat 640 3/4 down 14.5. March corn 409 1/4 now 409 even down 2. May 417 1/2 down 2. July 424 1/4 down 2 now 2.5. January soybeans 1026 3/4 down 8.25. March 1034 3/4 down 8.5. July 1047 1/4 down 8.75. January soybean meal 360 80 down 450. January soybean oil 32 up 11. December live cattle 160.77 1/2 up 207 1/2. January feeders are 220.07 1/2. Their limit up at $3. February lean hogs 82.50 up 62 1/2. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Dave, good morning and Merry Christmas to you and the family at Will Radio and all of our valuable listeners out there. I hope you have a blessed Christmas.
Thank you so much for that, right back at you. Well, it has been quite a week of fundamental chatter in the marketplace. And when it comes at you so fast and furious, it's hard to know what's important and what is not. We've had the crumbling of the ruble. It continues to be around 61, 62 to the dollar. The bond rates have been going up, the 10-year treasuries. We saw those start to increase. The oil continues its free fall. We have the China taking MER 162 after what has seemed to be forever. The Russia limiting wheat imports, and their exporters are suggesting to the non-union people to do the same. The dollar at the top of what is a six-year sideways trading range and has the potential for poking above that. And then we have the markets feeling a little bit toppy today. So what do we make of all this, and do we do any marketings between now and the end of the year if we haven't done anything?
Yeah, the answer to your question at the very end is yes, I think you are actually putting in some risk premium again because of all those features that you talked about, Dave. And so the market is reacting, something that it really didn't do in 2014. The market was more supply related in 2014. I think it's heading towards a more demand related market, but we're still under some supply features. And so what I have explained, I've been on the road this week in Ohio with Farm Credit of Mid-America, and it seems as though what is most on the minds of the people in the groups that I've spoken with is that filtering that you talked about. Mm-hmm. How do you distinguish between short-term and medium-term? And the fact that you need to distinguish between short-term and medium-term features, the Federal Reserve announcement, something that you didn't mention because there's such a long list of things, but that was a major player not only in the stock market yesterday but also in the soybean complex yesterday as well, in my view. That's a short-term feature that I think is going to be taken out of the market when the time comes relatively soon. Now, the Russian situation and the fact that the wheat has gone up around 13% in the last six sessions is certainly a medium-term situation because Russia, because they raised their interest rates from 10.5% to 17%, we know they're in trouble. And some in Russia have, like in the London Telegraph earlier this week, some Russian central bank people had said, if this doesn't work, we may have to go back to a state-run Soviet-era style closed economy. These are medium-term features that are very, very important, but you filter the short-term for the medium-term. You ask yourself the question, is it supply-related? If it is, it's more of a sell. If it's demand-related, you hold back on selling. And what I would say, in the aggregate, we had some great export sales for beans. We had fresh exports in corn this morning to Mexico and Japan. That in the aggregate, as it stands this week, of all this news, most of it, in my opinion, is supply-related, and therefore I think we built some premium heading into the acreage report, and therefore we probably need to feed the bull, or excuse me, not the acreage report, the stocks report and the final numbers from FSA versus NAS, that next supply-demand report.
So do you feel like you would peel off an increment for corn at 432 December 15? If you haven't made any sales, would you be willing to make a light sale there?
Yeah, I would. In fact, roughly 450 is my overvalue for December corn, roughly 650 for July wheat, and roughly 1050 for November beans are all my overvalue levels between now and March 30th. And we're banging up against 200-day moving averages in some of these new crop futures as well. And so I am in the red zone. I did recommend this week to go ahead and get up to about 50% hedged in 15 soft red wheat, 50% of your 10-year average production number, because we are up into that zone of getting some hedges and getting close to that overvalue level.
I think that the final 2 weeks of the year are really flighty. You're going to have thinner volume. We have thinner volume every year. So there's a chance that we could have a volatile market, which I would think would mean that even though we're eating a lot of Christmas food, we ought to keep an eye on it, because there might be a one-day opportunity somewhere along the way.
I'm glad you said that, because with what the Federal Reserve said and didn't say, and the market seeing, and I agree with the market, seeing this last commentary by the chairwoman Yellen as dovish, as not wanting to raise interest rates probably before the second half of 2015, I think you're going to have an extremely explosive last part of the month and first part of January, because in the midst of all that, we've already put a lot of money in because of these comments, but then you've got the end of the year, you've got the end of the quarter. Some people are, and funds are at the end of the fiscal quarter and the end of the fiscal year as well. And so I think there's going to be a lot of positioning, and even though it may be on reduced fund volume, I think the funds will be very, very active, especially because USDA came out with their fresh supply-demand fundamentals about
yesterday,
2 months early,
right?
And as I said, the Federal Reserve came out with their commentary as well. They're feeding the volatility by their commentary and these releases, in my view.
So you should have some orders in then where, do you think?
Well, like I said, we're right up against the 200-day moving averages in December corn and in July wheat, and we're getting right up against that 1025, 1030 level in the November beans when we rally. Those are great places to get some open put some open orders in and maybe do some hedge-to-arrives. We've seen a lot of basis play in wheat in Indiana this last half month. One client reported to me near Crawfordsville in Vetersburg area that he had seen wheat go from 30 under to 15 under just right after Thanksgiving. And so we're seeing over here the ethanol plants in Ohio are going back to a steady basis in corn, especially as you get out into April, May. I'm hearing that also in Danville, that you're getting essentially back to $4 corn in the old crop, and you're getting up into that $4 break-even now plus when it comes to the new crop as well. So, yeah, open orders at these prices. I probably wouldn't want to be more than 25, 30% done in new crop corn, Dave, and probably no more than 40 to 50% done in new crop beans. I want to watch that November high on a weekly close of November beans. I don't want to overstay my welcome in case weather comes back.
Could it be that, from a technical standpoint anyway, that in the March, I think it's also in the May, soybean contracts, we have a golden cross in the last day or two, the 50 crossing over the 100. Might that foreshadow some strength in the marketplace despite the fundamentals down in South America?
Yes, and I think this is where the beans have a very strong correlation with the equities markets and the financial markets. And who was the leader yesterday after the meal? After the Federal Reserve commentary took the stock market up 420 points at one point? Well, it was the meal and the soybean market, and I think that's a very pertinent point. And so beans are a very technical, outside market-related beast for lack of a better word. And like I said, that 10.56¾ November close back at the end of October, early November, we close above that on a weekly basis. I don't want to be as hedged up as I am or would be if at my overvalue levels.
Thank you much, Mike.
Dave, have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. March corn trading 409 down 2, May 417.5 down 2, July 423¾ down 2.5. You go out to December at 432¾ down 2. January beans 1027 down 8, March is 1035 down 8¼. July 1047.5 down 8½. January soybean meal 360.90 down 440. January soybean oil 31.99. It's up 10. February lean hogs are 82.47½. They're up 60. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.